Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 7. Now the sons of Issachar were four: Tola, Pua, Jashub, and Shimron. And the sons of Tola were Uzi, Raphaiah, Jeriel, Jemai, Ibsam, and Samuel. Heads of their father's households, the sons of Tola were mighty men of valor in their generations. Their number in the days of David was 22,600. And the son of Uzi was Izrahiah, and the sons of Izrahiah were Michael, Obadiah, Joel, Isaiah. All five of them were chief men. And with them by their generations, according to their father's households, were 36,000 troops of the army for war, for they had many wives and sons. And their relatives among all the families of Issachar were mighty men of valor, enrolled by genealogy in all 87,000. The sons of Benjamin were three: Bela and Becher and Jediah. And the sons of Bela were five: Esbon, Uzi, Uziel, Jeremoth, and Iri. They were heads of father's household, mighty men of valor, and were 22,034 enrolled by genealogy. And the sons of Becher were Zemerah, Joash, Eleazar, Elonai, Omri, Jeremoth, Abijah, Anathoth, and Alameth. All these were the sons of Becher. And these were enrolled by genealogy according to their generations, heads of their father's households, 20,200 mighty men of valor. And the sons of Jediah were Bilhan. The sons of Bilhan were Jeush, Benjamin, Ehud, Chaniah, Zethan, Tarshish, and Ahishahar. And these were the sons of Jediah, according to the heads of their father's households, 17,200 mighty men of valor who were ready to go out with the army to war. And Shupim and Hupim were the sons of Ur. Hushim was the son of Ahur. The sons of Naphtali were Jaziel, Guni, Jezer, and Shalom, the sons of Bilai. And the sons of Manasseh were Asriel, whom his Aramean concubine bore. She bore Machir, the father of Gilead. And Machir bore a wife for Hupim and Shupim, whose sister's name was Maka, and the name of the second was Zelophehad, and Zelophehad had daughters. And Maka, the wife of Machir, bore a son and named him Peresh. And the name of his brother was Sheresh, and the sons were Ulam and Rakam. And the son of Ulam was Bedan, and these were the sons of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, and his sister Hamolekesheth bore Ishad and Ebezer and Mala. And the sons of Shemida were Ahian and Shechem and Liki and Anayim. And the sons of Ephraim were Shuthelah and Bered his son, Tahath his son, Eliada his son, Tahath his son, Zabad his son, Shuthelah his son, and Ezer and Eliad, whom the men of Gath, who were born in the land, killed because they came down to take their livestock. And their father Ephraim mourned many days, and his relatives came to comfort him. Then he went in to his wife, and she conceived and bore a son, and he named him Beriah, because misfortune had come upon his house. And his daughter was Shira, who built lower and upper Beth Horon. Also Uzen-Shira and Rapha was his son, along with Reshef, Tela his son, Tahan his son, Ladan his son, Amihud his son, Elishama his son, Nan his son, and Joshua his son. And their possessions and settlements were Bethel with its towns, and to the east Naran, and to the west Gezer with its towns, and Shechem with its towns, as far as Ayah with its towns. And along the borders of the sons of Manasseh, Beth Shean with its towns, Tanakh with its towns, Megiddo with its towns, Dor with its towns. In these lived the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. The son of Asher were Imnah, Ishva, Ishvi, and Beriah, and Sarah, their sister. And the sons of Beriah were Heber and Malkiel, who was the father of Birzaiath. And Heber became the father of Japhlet, Shomer, and Hotham, and Shua, their sister. And the sons of Japhlet were Pasach, Bimhal, and Ashvath. These were the sons of Japhlet. And the sons of Shemer were Ahi, and Roga, Jehuba, and Aram. And the sons of his brother Helam were Zophah, Imnah, Shelesh, and Amar. The sons of Zophah were Shual, Beri, and Imra, Bezer, Haz, Shema, Shilsha, Ithron, and Bera. And the sons of Jether were Jephunneh, Pispa, and Ara. The sons of Ula were Ara, Haniel, and Rizia. And all these were the sons of Asher, heads of the father's houses, choice and mighty men of valor, heads of the princes. And the number of them enrolled by genealogy for service in war was 20,000 men. Amen. So we're moving along quite quickly, actually, when we get to this. So in this, you can tell we have Issachar, Benjamin, Naphtali, Manasseh, Ephraim, and Asher. And then we'll it kind of heads down a little bit, but we still have two more chapters of genealogies. And so just a few notes before we get to the main point. I think this is going to be quite short today. Issachar seemed to have a lot more men, particularly mighty men of valor, than the other tribes did. And that was a part of the fruitfulness that they had. But also, the family of Issachar were known to be polygamous. So they had many wives. And so that in some ways accounts for the heightened number of men. And we're not just about all men. We're talking about soldiers, mighty men that are listed here. And so that's kind of laid out. It's interesting to note that in these genealogies, notice they don't list all the children or all the men, but just the ones that are noteworthy. That seems to be a common theme. Even like with Benjamin, there's actually quite a few that's missing here. But there seem to be, and we'll figure this out in the next chapter, but it seems to be that only five were worthy of being mentioned for whatever reason. Maybe they were the five competent, capable ones. And so that kind of bears to mind that we need to live a life that's worthy of something, right? Worthy of being mentioned, at least in the scroll, worthy of living a life that's worthy in some manner. There's not much to say about Benjamin, Naphtali, Manasseh, Ephraim, Asher, but let's go to Ephraim a little bit. I just want to touch something. There's a little nugget that's caught in here. And in verse 21, these are the sons of Ephraim, and it says, Zabad his son, Shethulah his son, and Ezer and Elead, whom the men of Gath, who were born in the land, killed because they came down to take their livestock. Gath, remember, are the Philistines leading up to. Remember the major cities of the Philistines, Ekron, Gath, and so this is one of them. And their father, Ephraim, mourned many days, and his relatives came to comfort him. Then he went to his wife, and she conceived and bore a son and named him Beriah, because misfortune had come upon his house. Beriah means misfortune. What a great name to give to your child, right? I guarantee no one's going to name their kid Beriah. So we see in here a little glimpse of Middle Eastern culture in what happens. So during this time, remember, they're inhabiting the land. They're meant to dispossess the people, but Israel, unfortunately, didn't follow through in many ways, and that created a lot of difficulties. One of the major difficulties that get played out here is that the men of Gath come down and to take their livestock. Israelites were primarily shepherds, they're farmers, and this was a very common thing that would happen. The powerful nation or the powerful people or tribes would go and pillage the lesser ones. This is just sinful nature. This is what sinful people do. The strong take from the weak, and we see this happening. Now, that's not really the important part here, but more so the part of the community that plays. And in verse 22, it says, their father Ephraim mourned many days, and his relatives came to comfort him. So you see this happening all throughout the Bible. I'll give you an example in both Testaments. In the Old Testament, we have Job. And remember Job, he is mourning. His children have died. He's lost everything. He becomes ill. And his friends, remember, three particular friends come, and in the beginning, they come to comfort him. Later on, unfortunately, they'll give him really bad advice, which is basically curse God and just die. You know, they just thought, you must have done something really wrong, Job, for you to go through something like this. By the way, Job is, in verse 1, Pashub, that's actually Job again, but you know, it's inconsequential for this story. So we see in Job 2:11 that these friends come to bring comfort to him. In the New Testament, in John 11, when Lazarus is dead and ill and then dead, you remember that the family and the town, friends of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, come to comfort them. This is part of their tradition. This is part of what people do that are part of a family, that are part of a tribe in that regard. And I think that that really speaks a lot to our tribe. And I mean, we're not all national blood in that way, but we are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so there's a manner, a demeanor, a protocol, we can even say, that people care for one another. That when people are going through difficult times, and I think this is, happens twofold. One part is when people are going through difficult times, that there is a comforting that's happening. When people are going through very wonderful times, there's rejoicing that happens. And, you know, I've had plenty of rejoicing over this weekend, you know, over my birthday, that I'm so grateful for our community in that regard. And that's a sign of family. That's a sign of community. That's a sign of love. That in difficult times, the body of Christ gathers together to bring comfort. In great times, in times of rejoicing and celebration, the body of Christ comes together to bring and to rejoice together in that way. And it's really a very beautiful way to see the family of God. And in this sense, we can call ourselves a tribe, right? The tribe of SP in many ways. And I've taken great comfort and encouragement when I've seen that happen throughout our body. The first instance of this, and this is just in this, and really this probably informs my idea of church, or if we're going to use a fancy term, informs my ecclesiology, the way I view church. And when I, this is way back in 2003, and I'm early 20s, and we moved here. This was 1993, and so early 20s, just became a pastor at a church. I was still working. I was an accountant, working at a bank, but started taking a part-time position as a church, as a youth pastor. And again, starting the beginning of November, in my second week at this new church, the 21st was my birthday, and it was on a Sunday. And so the staff and church, you know, took me out to dinner. We had a great time. I'm still getting to know all these people. And then I get home, and I was living at my aunt's house at the time. I get home, and it's pitch dark. I was like, what's going on here? And my cousin calls me and says that my grandmother's passed away. And I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, so for a long time, actually, I didn't celebrate my birthday because she passed away on my birthday. So her memorial was my birthday. So that happened for a while. And so what ends up happening, you know, in very typical, we have a wake, we have a funeral and all these things. And my new church that I was at, Thanksgiving Church, I had been there for 2 weeks at this church. And during the wake and the funeral, so many members from the church, this Korean church that I was at, came out to the funeral and to the wake. I didn't even know these people. And they would just come, and they knew me by name because, you know, I was introduced to the church. I didn't know any of them, you know, elders, deacons, you know, people without any title. They would come, and I felt so loved by them. And it started. I was like, oh, so this is what church is meant to be like. It really is like a family, that when you're down, they're there to pick you up. That when it's low, this is the body of Christ at work. And it wasn't just when people died or things like that, but just when we're in our low moments, that should be the time that the body of Christ rises up. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul tells the church, he says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Now, it's interesting because law of Christ is fairly an oxymoron in that regard, in the sense that Christ has overcome the law. We see all that in Paul's writings. But better said, it's the labor of love. And this is how we show Christ's love. It's the law of the Lord, law of Christ, in this way that we freely, not by duty, not by any kind of filial responsibility, but purely out of our reverence for Christ, we go and we bear one another's burdens. And it's such a beautiful thing. And the flip side, too, is we learn to rejoice with each other. We learn to celebrate milestones and accomplishments, graduations, celebrations, birthdays, anniversaries, births of children that we as a body, we continually come to celebrate, even people's transitions. Now, that's why we pray for people when they move on. We want to bless them into other places. We're not angry that they're leaving our body. We just believe they're just an extension of that body all over the world. We're almost like sending them out like missionaries in many ways. And we celebrate their transitions and we celebrate their promotions. That's a sign of a really healthy community in that regard. And we see the seeds of this throughout the Old Testament, and we see little glimpses of what the tribe or the people of God, the family of God, are meant to operate in bad times, but also in good times. In bad times, even when we have been robbed or things have done against us, but also sometimes when we've made mistakes. One thing that the church is really famous for is, unlike any other group of people, we shoot our wounded. People are hurting, and through the history of the church, unfortunately, we tend to shoot them instead of bring healing to them. And it's quite a tragedy in that way, right? The passage in Galatians, if you read above that, he says really simply, you who are spiritual, in other words, you who think you're spiritual, restore the one. In other words, restore the weaker one because you're so high and lofty. That's what Paul is getting at. I think he's using a little bit of sarcasm in many ways. And then he says, bear one another those burdens unless fulfill the law of Christ. And so either hardship that's done to them or they did it to themselves. I mean, it does matter in the way we say things to them and bring wisdom and advice, but it shouldn't matter in the way that we care. It should be the same, regardless if it's their fault or someone else's fault in that regard. And also, again, really important, also the place of celebration. And that's a healthy community. And we see this begin to be modeled all throughout the scriptures. Okay? So let's close our eyes. And let's hallow his name. And let's thank him that we are part of a family, that we are part of a tribe called the Body of Christ here in Hong Kong at Solomon's Porch. And let's pray the Holy Spirit would connect us in such a way that we would be attentive to people's needs in their sorrow and also in their joy. And can we just hollow his name, just thank him, and ask him to make us sensitive. Thank you. Continue to hallow his name, and let's just thank him for setting us in a family. He's our Father that sets us in a family, sets us in a place to care for one another, to celebrate with each other. Let's thank him for that. It's his blood, it's the cross of Christ that enables us to be connected. His blood spilt for us connects our blood to one another. It's strong. Let's thank him for our house churches, our house church ministry, that we have a smaller community within the larger one so we can get to know each other better and thus care for one another better. Well, let's just thank him for that, and let's hallow his name. Let's continue to pray for our community. Let's pray for ones that are battling through cancers and going through therapies. Just as a praise report, Calvin's scan came back the other day, and it's almost fully clean. It's incredibly amazing. And so let's continue to pray for God's healing that's already done in heaven to be manifest here on earth. Let's just lift up. Let's pray for our friends here. Pray for our community that's battling through illness, but also let's pray for that word of salvation over their lives. Pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Just make a note that Pastor Mary's brother had a little scare the other day, and so there's some complications after his surgery, and so let's pray for God's healing touch over him. Let's also continue to pray for Jeff, and he's having some face is a little paralyzed as a result, and so let's pray for a full recovery from his surgery. Let's pray for our sisters looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Go to our community focus and let's pray for China today. Let's lift up this country, ask God to blow his spirit and his wind. I know that there's law changes that are going to affect. Let's pray that the ministries and the houses of God will be protected during this time. And with that in mind, let's pray for SP Beijing. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu. Ask the Holy Spirit to continue to lead him and guide him and his board. Let's pray for the Chung family, Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for Edie. Pray for the churches. And you know, I guess we could add on SP Shanghai. Let's pray for our future church plant, that God would just really continue to plant seeds and do his work. Let's lift up China. Let's pray for our board. Let's pray for God's wisdom, God's clarity and his hand upon us, protection over our families as this board leads our church. Let's pray. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries. Let's lift up our young adults, and especially the Yahweh Connect retreat that's happening next weekend. Let's pray for a very fruitful time. Pray for Yahweh Eats and the Single Life Workshop that's starting up again. Let's continue to pray for the men's ministry. Just follow up from our retreat, Monday prayer meeting, the Pure Desire and men's fraternity class, and the women's ministry for lift and discipleship, that the Lord would continue to move upon them and all of us as we connect together. Let's lift up. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for God's will to be established here on earth as it already has been done in heaven. Let's pray for a new building and resources. Let's pray for a benefactor in response to a prophetic word, and continue to pray for our vision fund. And right now, our sixth floor renovations and also our third floor renovations that will be happening after we finish the sixth floor and the office moves. Let's just lift up. Let's pray for our house churches tonight. Blue Pool, Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, House to House, Island, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, Robin Hood, and TST. Let's pray for Holy Spirit anointing to flow over each one of them. Our leaders would lead by the Spirit, and people would be touched by the Lord and really connect with each other. Lastly, let's pray for our Manila mission trip. Let's pray. Ashley sent us a note, and they have a really busy schedule today. They'll be ministering to the staff, a prophetic ministry, at 9:15 a.m. this morning, so we can remember them. And they're getting to the heart of their ministry. They have to wrap 7,000 gifts today as well as go out and do ministry. And so let's pray for strength for the team, especially the leadership over Ashley and Janice. So let's lift them up. Lord, we thank you, God, that you set us in a community, God, that you place us in a tribe, Lord. And we thank you that we are to care for each other, Lord, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. So help us to be there for people when they're down and celebrate with people when they're up, God. Lord, that's how the body functions, Lord. Lord, Corinthians, God, very clearly tells us how we ought to behave and act, God, with one another, Lord. We rejoice, God, when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. When one rejoices, we all rejoice together, God. Teach us, God, this interconnectedness, Lord, of the body. And so we thank you for setting us into this place, God. We thank you. We love you. God, just watch us today as we seek to glorify your Son, Jesus, Lord. We thank you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name. Let's close in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Come, thy kingdom. Be done your will on earth as it already has been done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.